Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue our series preaching through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading verse 11. And he, that's Jesus Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. And I thank you for this church, which is the body of Christ. And dear God, I thank you that we can be parts of this body, and that by your spirit, you help us to work together to glorify your name. And Lord, I look to you now, and I ask you to fill me with your spirit so that I might minister the word to your church this morning. I pray you'd fill my dear wife with your spirit and use her relaying the message in sign. I pray for Sister Pat in the nursery. Bless her and use her watching the children. Fill her with your spirit. I pray for the communion service to follow, that it might be a sweet time of examining ourselves before you, and that our hearts would be close with you, that we'd remember how much you loved us and gave for us, and love you even more. And Lord, I pray that you do your work in your church this morning. Build us and edify us. And help us to repent and confess and forsake our sins. And dear God, to help one another and to be among those that will love your appearing, that are looking for your coming. And being careful, dear Lord, to watch the times, watch for opportunities to share the gospel and do a kind deed, say a kind word, those things that would glorify your name. And we thank you for the word that's gone forth already, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour. What a blessing to know you've allowed and enabled us to continue all these years. And we thank you and praise you. Help us to reach yet more, Father, by your glory and by your and by your grace. And Lord, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, Faith, Fullness, and Fellowship. Faith, Fullness, and Fellowship. The Lord is building his church. And we see some foundational truths that will help us to grow as individual believers and therefore as a church together. And we see that in the message this morning. I want us to first of all consider, number one, that we are to stand in the faith of Christ. Number one, as believers, we are to stand in the faith of Christ. In verse 13 of Ephesians 4 here, God is working that we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The unity of the faith. Now, what faith is he talking about here? You know, we hear the saying, someone says, you know, keep the faith, you know. Well, faith is nothing of itself. It's the object of faith that makes a difference. And when the object of the faith is Jesus Christ and God's Word, that's when it's a life-changing, soul-saving faith. And we are to stand in that faith. That faith is the faith that we read of and that we hear from the Word of God. It's the faith regarding that. And the truth of God's Word, standing in the faith. Make no mistake about it. This Word, the center of this Word, the focus of this Word is a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His soon coming again. That's what this book is all about. We are to stand in that faith, in the truth of this wonderful Word. Most of you are aware that we are, our country and our legislature is in the process of getting another Supreme Court judge, Brett Kavanaugh, and some of you may have seen some of those proceedings, and some accusations have been made against him and such, and having this hearing, he's been accused of some wrongdoings and inappropriate things, and so some are trying to keep him out of being a Supreme Court justice. And so they've had enough votes to confirm him. The Republicans have went ahead and allowed an FBI investigation. They said for a week only. We'll see how that turns out. One CNN contributor, Anna Navarro, wrote about this situation. She wrote, regardless of whether Judge Kavanaugh is confirmed, Dr. Ford, this is the woman that's accusing him of inappropriate behavior, Dr. Ford coming forward was not for naught. I mean, she came forward for something, is what she's saying. She empowered victims. She put perpetrators on notice. She opened America's eyes as to what can happen to girls. She told her truth. She opened the door for others to tell their truth. That's what she said. And therein we see part of the problem of our world today. She used some terms there. She said she spoke her truth, and she opened the doors for others to speak their truth. May we be careful to note that there's no such thing as your truth or my truth. There's no such thing as her truth or his truth. There is only the truth. Amen. In our courtrooms, it used to be, do you swear to tell what? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but what? The truth. It doesn't say, do you swear to tell your truth, your whole truth, and nothing but your whole truth? It doesn't say that. It says the truth. You see, because there's only one truth. Either it's true or it's not. Now, she has said she believes this senator attempted, I guess, to rape her or something, and when she was in high school. And she doesn't remember any details about it, where it was, what time it happened. But she knows it was him. She's sure it was him.
He says, absolutely not. I've not only never done that to her, I've never done anything like that to anyone growing up. And they have said about her witness as this reporter, well, it's her truth. Well, she really believes it. You know what? I believe she does. I believe she believes that. But folks, you and I believing it doesn't make it truth, does it? I know lots of children in this country that believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. But parents, you'll still be the one going to buy the presents this year. Just remember that, okay? You see, believing it doesn't make it the truth. And this word is the truth. By the way, we need to know the truth. We met some folks out in visitation yesterday that just wanted to be vague about truth. Well, we can't really know some things. I'm thankful for the truth of the Word of God, for knowing the truth. It's foundational. We build our lives upon it. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We build our lives upon truth. Think about this. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well in John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, what? And in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we can't know the truth, folks, we can't even worship God. If he hadn't shown us the truth, must worship him in spirit and truth. I think about Jesus before Pilate. John 18:37, Pilate says to Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to what? The truth. The truth. Of course, you remember what Pilate's answer was? The same thing the world's answering today. What is truth? You have your truth. I have my truth. No, God says there is the truth. There's the truth. Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 17:17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. That means make them holy. Set them apart from the world. Do your miraculous, life-changing work in their lives. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we can't worship God or be made more in the image of Christ as we yield to him without truth. It's truth that works those things out. It's foundational. God sending Jesus Christ, his perfect Son, again, to die for the world is the focus of the whole Scripture. That he rose again and will return. And make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Jesus Christ of the Bible. He is not the Jesus Christ who some say was just a prophet or a good teacher. Remember when Jesus questioned his disciples? In Matthew 16:13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they thought about that. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias. Others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he says, but whom say ye that I am? Remember Peter's answer? Thou art what? The Christ, the Son of the living God. And what was Jesus' answer? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My Father just put that truth through your lips, Peter. He is the Christ, the Son of God. He's not just some prophet, some good man. He is not the Jesus who some believe never actually came in the flesh, but only appeared to be in the flesh. And you can probably attach several religious groups to each of these things I'm talking about. He just appeared in the flesh. He wasn't really in the flesh. Jesus with his disciples after his resurrection, he appeared in a room. And then, by the way, this is after the resurrection, much less before. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet," Luke 24:39. "That is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." And folks, thus saith the truth, the word of God. He came in a body, he was resurrected in a body. He is not the Jesus Christ who some believe was created by God like we are. That's not what the Bible says. In John 1:3, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, all things what? Were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. There was never anything made or created without Jesus already being there. So if God created Jesus, that would mean Jesus wasn't there before when God created him. He didn't appear till after he created him. That's not true. The Bible says he made all things. And there was never ever something made without him being there. You say, what about him? He was never made. He has no beginning and no end. He's one with the Father. This is the Jesus Christ of the Bible, folks. He's the one who saves. He is not the Jesus who some say is Michael the archangel. Or some say he's the brother of Satan. Again, angels are created beings. For by him, Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:16, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All the hosts of heaven, the angels, the seraphim, all those things that we see were created by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the Jesus, according to the Bible, who has existed eternally as one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read of the prophecy where he would be born. And in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The NIV says his origins. That is a false doctrine. Jesus has no origins. Origins are beginnings. He has no beginning. His goings forth. We have seen his workings from everlasting to everlasting. That's the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The Jesus Christ of the Bible is the Word made flesh. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the Jesus of the Bible, folks. He is the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. You say, what would it look like if somebody actually lived all the Word of God? You know, didn't Jesus say that it's written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God"? Didn't Jesus teach that? You say, what would that look like if a man actually did that? Well, it would look like Jesus. A man actually did do it, and his name's Jesus Christ. By the way, he did it for you and I. He became a man. God became a man, and God lived his word
perfectly for you and I. Jesus Christ is the holy, is the only one mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We meet more and more people on visitation that are having a problem with that. Jesus is the only way to the Father? Well, yes, he is. That's the Jesus of the Bible. He's the only way there. It doesn't matter if you're living a tribe out in the jungle, they need Jesus. That's why God told us to go into the whole world and preach the gospel, amen? Because there's only one way to heaven. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ alone paid the sin debt of the world. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19 says we weren't redeemed by silver or gold. In the day that Peter was writing, slaves, if they had enough money, could buy their freedom. Maybe they had family or something, and if they were coming up money, they could pay off their master and buy their freedom. Folks, we couldn't buy our freedom from our sin. It didn't matter how much we paid or who we knew. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with what? Peter, 1 Peter 1:19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Jesus Christ only has the authority to forgive sins. Mark 2:10. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He has power on earth to forgive sins. He says, I'll prove it to you. You see this man who's never walked before? Pretty easy for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Anybody could say that. How about if I say, rise up and walk? And how about we let that decide whether you believe I can have the authority to forgive sins or not? That's exactly what he did. And he said, rise up and walk, so that you might know I have the power, the authority to forgive sin. The truth of the word, he's the Jesus of the Bible. And therefore, we contend for the faith. The faith is becoming, I'm finding more and more, something that is preached less and less. And I look forward to preaching more and more of the truth here, though it draw less and less crowds. That frankly doesn't matter to me. I love each one of you. I love each one who will come to our church. I love my Father. I love my Savior. And I love His Word. And the only hope that we have in this world, in this town, and throughout this world is to preach this Word and align our lives with this Word. This truth. To contend for the faith. Jude wrote that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. And folks, we see it fading fast. So many are turning away from preaching it. The word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Isn't that good? And power, his word is powerful. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. He protects us. Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I love that. It's powerful. Hebrews 4:12. It's quick and powerful, living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes on and tells how it cuts into our heart, changes our lives. That power that comes. Oh, you just can't know things. Oh, no. I know the truth. We can know the truth from the Word of God. I think of 1 Thessalonians 1:5 as Paul writes to that church. He remembers how that the Lord helped them as they ministered there. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. It wasn't just a human being's word, in word only, but also what? In power and in the Holy Ghost, here it is, and in much assurance. Oh, we just can't know those things. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, no, we just not sure. We don't know what's on the other side. Oh, yes, we do.
We have the truth right here.
That came in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Their very lives have been changed by the message that they said was the truth. And Paul said that was evidence. Who was preaching to him? Who was starting the churches? The same guy that used to kill him. And by the way, he was doing that at risk and threat of his own life and wealth and health and well-being. Which he eventually, by the way, lost all except for his well-being. That just got better and better as he was faithful to God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What? It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to stand in the faith of Christ. Stand faithful to the word of God. Secondly, we need to seek the fullness of Christ.
Seek the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 13, second half of the verse. He wants us to grow unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15 says, we are to be speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing in Christ's likeness all the time, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Most businesses today, with all the technology, it takes a lot of work to keep the best product, to have the offer the best service. Why? Because things are what? Always improving. Things are always growing. There's always some new technology. How would you feel about working at a place that said, oh, we finally did it. We've just attained the best product forever. Sit back, bring out your lounge chairs. We'll always be the choice to buy our product because we've obtained the best and nobody can improve upon it. How many would like working for that company? You know why? Because it's not too long. What? Somebody's going to have something better in some way, right? Well, you know, we are to be growing into the image of Jesus Christ. And Christianity is far more than knowing and proclaiming the pure and powerful and preserving truths of the Word of God. It's about having a personal life-changing relationship with God Himself through faith in Jesus Christ so that we are conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And by the way, God won't be done with us until He comes to get us, either by death or by the rapture. Some physical ailments that people have that deal with their nervous system and perhaps the reflexes and such happen because there's a malfunction in the brain, or there's some kind of a physical problem in the brain and the system that sends messages back and forth. And so growth is stunted or it's not maybe what it should be in some areas, some limbs and things like that. But listen, folks, in the body of Christ, we have a perfect head. It's Jesus Christ. There's no malfunction in Him. And by the way, His reaching out to us with His Holy Spirit, there's no malfunction there. So we all can grow into the image of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about somebody that maybe can't understand as much? God just expects them to yield to what? As much as they can understand. Amen? See, someone who maybe because of some kind of physical limit in their brain that can't maybe understand quite as much as we do, God just expects them to understand all they can. And when they understand all they can, what? And yield to all they can, they are what? Filled with the Holy Spirit if they're a Christian. See that? And that's what He expects of each of us. Becoming more Christ-like. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Knowing Him. Listen, brethren. If we have become complacent in our spiritual growth, and we are not aware of some area in our life in which we need to grow,
it is a testimony against us in at least one of these three things. If we're not aware of some area in which we need to grow, it is a testimony against us in at least one of these three things. Number one, we have slacked in our looking to the Lord to follow Him. Number one, we've slacked in our looking to the Lord to follow Him. Or perhaps it's number two, we have slacked in our learning of the Lord, of who He is. Or perhaps it's number three, we have slacked in our love for the Lord, in our desire to have Him control our lives. Or perhaps it's all three. Many times those are hard to separate. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 25, Jesus said this to His disciples: "It is enough for the disciple that he be," what? "As his master, and the servant as his Lord." And I would ask you, and I would ask myself, are we as Christ? Are we as our Lord? When John thought about the Lord's coming, he says, here's our confidence. Here's what gives us confidence when the Lord comes. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Are we becoming more and more like Him? Well, if we are, then we're looking at Him. And we're loving Him. And we're learning about Him. And by the way, if we are, we're still aware of some area that we're not like Him. Amen? And we still have to grow. But we're not among those that are reclined. Yep, I've made it. I feel really spiritual, and everybody thinks I'm spiritual, so I'll bring out my spiritual lounge chair, you know, and there we go. Like what Brother Dennis said, it's wonderful in praying this morning. We're thankful when God shows us areas in our lives where we need to repent. Amen? And where we need to turn to Him. And He reveals those things to us. Learning to repent. By the way, that's a good thing to learn. Amen? Learning to repent. David was a man after God's own heart, I think, because he was good at repenting. He was good at repenting. And we all need that. You see, when I stand up here with the one finger out there, three are back here, please understand, your pastor hasn't attained these things. I hope you understand that. I mean, the Apostle Paul said what? He says, brethren, Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet at all I'm preaching unto you. I've got to live this stuff too. God's calling me. Matter of fact, God's calling me responsible to be an example. I'm preaching it. Paul, I count to myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, what? And he went on to say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am trying to be more like Jesus and praying to be more like Jesus in those areas that He shows me. Confessing those to Him and desiring that growth, desiring that miracle in my heart. The Word of God, the truth. We think about this. How oftentimes we get a limited picture of God's holiness. Think about the command in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you know that verse teaches it is just as wrong to not be filled with the Spirit as it is to be drunk with wine? That's what it's saying. Be not drunk with wine. There's the negative. Just as bad as being drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. It's just as wrong to not be filled with the Spirit for a Christian. See, God's a holy God, isn't He? But I'm so thankful He's merciful. Thankful for His grace. But He expects us to keep that focus and that growing. Paul wrote, my little children, Galatians 4:19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Just as much as I wanted you to be born again to begin with,
just that much I'm willing to give my life again, that you would reflect the image of Christ in your life and mature and become one who would be willing to give your life for him, even as he gave his life for the world. The fullness. Are we seeking the fullness of him in our lives? I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They had lots of problems. You know, the Bible tells us what the root of their problem was, where it all came from. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God is condemning Jerusalem. He's condemning cities that have forsaken him, condemning his own people because they've forsaken him. Ezekiel has been taken captive to Babylon, and God has shown him these things. He writes his letter as a captive in Babylon. And God says this to Ezekiel, he writes it. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. God is saying, Jerusalem, Sodom is your sister. The city of Sodom. I'm going to tell you how you're alike. He says, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Here it is. Listen to this. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. Wow. What's that sound like? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Sodom must have been a bustling place. It says, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. In other words, the cities around Sodom also, remember, God also destroyed them when he destroyed Sodom. They were all well-to-do. They had enough that they didn't have to work all the time. Matter of fact, they had abundance of idleness. And so when Lot moved in with his friends and the angels came to visit him, they said, let's go have a night party. They had abundance of idleness. And they went and said, let's go have some evil fun. And went to Lot's house. Remember that? Hey, we're seeing the same things here, folks. We have so much that some people vacation near as much as they work. And so much pride. And God says, look where it all led. Look where it all led. And what we have to be careful as Christians is, Jesus said, it is enough for the servant that what he be as his master. We have to make sure that we haven't got to the place where we've said in our own hearts, it is enough that I have all that I need and my material needs are met and I have the vacation that I want. It's enough. I don't need to be any more like Jesus Christ. I don't need to be serious about being some kind of a zealous Christian. It's enough where I'm at right now. By the way, that would be a tragic mistake. Because God wants us to be like his son. It's enough. Then finally, we are called to serve in the fellowship of Christ. And here he lists some of the gifts that have been given. It says he gave some apostles, verse 11, some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he talks about the gifts that are the ministry of the word gifts, simply because, think about the time. The churches had just started. What did they need? The preaching of the word of God. They needed that to continue. And so there are many gifts, but he just mentioned these because it fits the context. That's where they're at in history. They needed preachers and teachers of the Word of God quickly, immediately. And when those churches started, what did God do? He sent gifted people there that would teach and preach the Word of God. And others came also with the other gifts. And we learned about some of the other gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Talks about many gifts, having different gifts. Some have the gift of prophecy. That would be, we might say, preaching, Romans 12:6. On ministering, that is any kind of service that you do to help one another. Ministering or teaching, perhaps, you know, teaching a Sunday school class or a ladies group or exhorting, encouraging people. The gift of doing that. Exhortation, encouraging. Giving, the gift of giving. Some people have the gift of making money and then giving it to the work of the Lord. Ruling. Some people have the gift of organization, administration. They can, you know, make a program run and do those things and use that in the church. showing mercy. Some people used to have compassion on those that are suffering. I see that in this church all the time. Folks showing that compassion to those that are suffering. And just what? Serving in the fellowship of Christ. See that? Serving in the fellowship of Christ. All these things that we see. Standing in the faith of Christ. Seeking the fullness of Christ. Serving in the fellowship of Christ. See, because if you're growing in the likeness of Christ, you know what he's going to put in you? A servant's heart. What's that song we sing? Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. You know, I'll tune there. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. That's what we need. And that's what God will give us. By the way, Jesus called his disciples unto them, Matthew 20:25. You know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. By the way, he's just saying the same thing, two different words. Even as the Son of Man came, what? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. When your heart is starting to be shaped in the image of Jesus' heart, it'll be a servant's heart. It'll be a servant's heart. And we'll want to serve one another. We saw that in the study of Galatians. Brother Brian finished that verse up there. Use not liberty as an occasion to flesh, but what? By love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. Jesus said, John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, here it is, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible goes on to say he was talking about the Spirit. What's he saying there? Those who get saved will receive the Spirit. And it's not just that they receive all up and they hold to themselves. What? Out of his belly, what? With that Spirit flows rivers of living water. They become a blessing to others. And serve others in whatever way God has gifted them to. And we've already seen God has gifted all of his children to serve his church in some way for his glory as we all grow together in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, you have done such a wonderful, powerful work with your resurrection. We saw that last week. And we saw just some more details of the work that you now have left, though you've not left it alone. We're here upon this earth with all the power and all that we need to do all that you call us to do. You did never promise us, though, that the earth would, that there'd be revival, that the earth would be revived, and that there'd be a millennium on the earth before you came. You never said that would happen. You indicated that more and more people would not listen. More and more would turn away. Teaching from the Bible, as we enjoy in this place, dear God, would fade. They'd be turned unto fables, and just to hear things that are comfortable and satisfying to the flesh. And God, we're seeing that all around us. But I thank you, Lord, that as you've promised, you've never left us nor forsaken us. I thank you, your word's eternal, that we can live by it and we'll have it. And I pray for us, dear God, that you'd help us to continue to grow as a church and to glorify your name and to love those that are around us, reach out to them as best we possibly can with this powerful truth, this word in a generation that is confusing so many things, being deceived by the devil to the point that some are saying that there is no absolute truth. But Father, we know that there is, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray you be with each one. Bless as we close this service and then the communion service to follow. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.